Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Michelle Wolf, very funny stand-up comedian. You know her from The Correspondents, Dinner, and many other things. Comes in here and just is a funny, fantastic guest. So we'll talk to her. First, Simply Safe break-ins spike during the holidays. Did you know that? It makes sense, right? Families are traveling and burglars know that gifts are just laying around. Only 1 in 5 homes have security because companies, they don't make it easy. Long-term contracts, monthly costs, hidden fees. Simply Safe, that's my choice. Comprehensive professional home security at a fair price. Now's the best time to get started. My listeners get a free security camera and a huge discount as well. Protect every room, door, and window with 24/7 professional monitoring, plus smart lock and video doorbell. Defend the front door and the porch from the porch pirates, everybody. Start at just $15 a month. That's right, just $15 a month. No contracts, no hidden fees, no fine print. It is Simply Safe, right, Dawson?
Visit simplysafe.com/Adam to get a free camera plus Simply Safe's holiday savings. This offer is for a limited time only, and it's ending soon. Visit simplysafe.com/Adam today. That's simplysafe.com/Adam.
Just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
Corolla Drinks fans, get ready for another dose of good news, bad news. Bad news first, we are sold out of this month's Adam's Monthly Nut, featuring Heavenly Kettle Corn and Coffee Booster. Good news is you can still get these incredible products through their website. Head to coffeebooster.net and use promo code ACEMAN20 to get 20% off your first order. And if you feel like a little snacking, head to heavenlykettlecorn.com to get the greatest kettle corn on God's green earth. And stay tuned for next month's Adam's Monthly Nut. It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hey, Smith. Love you. John from Ohio. My son texted me two, I think, pretty good rich man, poor man. First one is... spends most of the day on a basketball court. Second one is somebody else ties his ties for him. Anyway, get it on.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
It's me. Like, the basketball court's easy, and then there's, like, court-appointed attorney, and then butler in the tie department. Write that down, Max. I'll put that on my list. Michelle Wolf is here. Joke Show, very funny Netflix specials coming out this Tuesday. That's December 10th on Netflix, if you couldn't do the math. I got to watch it last night, and I laughed. I love the giraffe bit. I love many of the bits.
And don't forget the otters.
Yeah, the otters. I didn't want to do the
not
otter.
Not all animals.
I didn't want to do the otter. I love the otter bit, but the otter bit's the first 5 minutes. And if you say I love the bit and you just do the first bit, everyone thinks you just watched the first 5 minutes and didn't watch.
I was actually very impressed. You said giraffe. I was like, he made it through.
Yeah, yeah. No,
or at least part of it.
Well, it is. Everyone goes. Yeah, yeah, I love this, but they never watch any of it, and so I think.
Oh, we didn't just watch the highlights.
Yeah,
we
watched the whole thing.
When she came out and addressed the audience, the way she grabbed that microphone,
yeah, said hello, good evening, thanks for being here.
With confidence.
Thank you.
Wearing those tight pants.
Love a tight pair of pants.
Where did you? Was that in D.C.? Where did you shoot that? That the stage looked familiar to me.
Skirball in NYU.
Oh, really? No. Then I didn't. I don't think I've ever played there. Great. It's great looking space. Great. No bells and whistles. Just a real straight hour stand-up special and real funny. So I hope you're proud of it.
Yeah, I'm happy. I'm excited for people to see it.
Pasadena tonight, as you hear this, and Ice House, which is a great place. Do you get out there much?
I've been there a couple of times. I did a show there a couple years ago, and then when I was working on the Oscars with Rock, he ran his monologue there a couple times.
Oh, Chris chose there.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't.
So for those, you know, for everyone who wants to kind of know the lay of the comedy land around here, they're in the entire, basically, in the entire San Fernando Valley with millions of people, there is no comedy. Mm. There's no comedy club. So that's where I come from. I come from a vacuum of comedy. Because these people talking about growing up in New York and the scene and everything. Yeah. The Valley, there is no place that has this many human beings living and zero comedy places.
Now, the guys in Flappers are cutting their wrists.
I was going to say, Flappers is in Burbank, but like if you picture the Valley's just a manhole cover, it's on the very edge. There is nothing in the Valley. They're on the very edge of it. And then there's Pasadena, that's Ice House, and that's off there. And then everywhere else is Comedy Store and Improv and Laugh Factory, and that's all kind of in the middle. So that Rock would go to Pasadena means, was he hiding out a little over there?
A little hiding out. I think also a little like, let's try to get people that, I don't know, not downtown people.
Industry types.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, not people that can't wait to see a famous person, which I feel like can be the store a little bit.
And you wrote on that, obviously.
Yeah.
Emmy nominated for that, I believe.
I don't remember.
Were you, would you go out there with him and sit in the audience and kind of grade things?
I'd be out. We went out. I watched it. A lot of he ran out a lot at the Cellar in New York too, and that's where I normally am. So,
we'll limit our Chris Rock talk to 80 more seconds. But how well? So I wrote for Jimmy, and Jimmy doesn't do stand up, and so Jimmy never tests.
Right, he doesn't rehearse that
out
way.
The jokes, and I've done a few. Roast, Comedy Central roast and stuff. And I never tested out the joke, but the last one I did, I went out and tested out the jokes. And I can tell you, it's helpful.
Yeah.
Big time.
I don't know how people don't do it. Like,
once you do it, you go, how can you not do it this way?
Yeah. The number of times I've written a joke on paper and been like, this is gold. And then I've said it out loud and I was like, it is the opposite. It's so bad.
Well, how do you. So there's what's going on in your head. Like there's the premise, you know what I mean? And you know instinctually when you're kind of on to a premise. Like you go, oh, that is a good thought. Mm-hmm. And then you go out on stage and the thought is strong, but the execution is not quite there. And the audience will respond to the execution more than to the thought.
Yeah.
So you take this great thought, this thought's a 10, you go out there and give it a 4 of an execution, the audience doesn't really react, and then you walk back to the dressing room thinking it's a bad idea, but how do you push through that?
I can always tell when it's me and not necessarily the joke. Like, especially when you're starting off with new stuff and you're like, no, there's something really funny here. It's just you're not at the place where you're saying it right yet. Like, you're just like, the audience can smell that.
Yes.
I mean, they can smell the fear on you. But once you, if you're like, I'm going to push through it, and you keep trying it, it feels like you're getting kicked in the chest for the first like 10 times maybe. And then when you finally get it rolling, you're like, oh, okay.
Right. And then you also have to deal with, before it gets rolling, you're just out there holding a mic and not hearing a lot of reaction.
Yeah, it's awful.
And how often do you do this? Like, how often do you do, this is all sort of cathartic for me, but you walk, you know, that day you go, I'm going to the Comedy Store tonight. And we're going to try out a whole bunch of new shit.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, walk into the Comedy Store and it's sold out. And Dane Cook's like tearing it up with some act that he's done 5,000 times. And you go, fuck it, I'm going with all the old shit. Like, I'm not going to then walk out after this and start experimenting.
Yeah, I mean, I think the number of times that's happened to me, I mean, there was times at the Cellar where it'd be like Louis and then me and then Rock. And I was like, they're both out there in the hallway. And I'm like, no, I got it. I'm not going to try out a new premise.
Right.
And this is before I knew either of them. I was still kind of early in. But like now I've gotten a little bit more comfortable where I might start really strong, throw a bomber in the middle, and then just try to pick it up again. But then I also realize they're not listening. They probably walked away. They don't care.
Not whole audience. Oh, yeah. I get you. You're talking about Chris Rock.
No, the whole audience left.
Do you know Louis? You know Chris Is Chris sort of Chris? Like, sometimes people go to me, oh, what's Dr. Drew really like? I go, he's like Dr. Drew. Like, if you know Dr., if you've heard Dr. Drew, he's Dr. Drew. That's exactly who he is. Chris feels that way, but I don't know him well.
Yeah, I mean, he's like, he's a dad, you know? He's a comic and a dad, and that's kind of the vibe you get off stage with him. He'll make jokes the whole time and, like, have long discussions and then, like, you know, likes having kids.
We're looking at a picture of all of you guys.
Oh, yeah, that was on the subway, or the tube.
Jessel
on the way to the O2.
Nice.
And Jeff Ross is in there.
And in the back, you got Nelson George, who is a kind of prolific music writer.
I wonder if he can play the trumpet, because I'm looking to move a hardly used...
$2,500.
The mouthpiece smells like death, but other than that...
I did play the trumpet for about 3 months in fifth grade. So
oh, really?
I have a little bit of experience.
We have a honey of a deal for you.
As long as you're going to Pasadena.
So the special, how long does it take you to develop an hour? I think it's like 59 minutes and 38 seconds or something, but it's right about an hour.
This one I worked on, I shot my first one back in August of 2017, and then this one in August of 2019. So it took about 2 years. I don't know, the comedy gods have been very kind, but I already have a new hour.
Wow.
From when I taped this in August. Not all the jokes are there, but I have a new hour.
But it takes up an hour.
It takes up. I found this nice little pocket. A lot of the jokes start with I want women to get ahead, but you know.
It's always funny how you say you go, I love my kids. All right, now let's talk about fucking my kids for 2 hours.
Yeah.
You think that's how it works? you can just announce before you leave the house, I don't drive drunk. All right, now let's go polish off a fifth and start driving. That's basically what you do when you do comedy. You just go, I like this person, and then you talk shit.
Yeah. It's like saying, I have a friend. I love that. Yeah, I love him. I love him, but.
All right, here it comes.
Yeah.
White House Correspondents' Dinner. I feel that's what really launched your career, and you probably will tell us there are a bunch of other things that you did before that. But who tapped you? How does one get tapped to do that? How do they figure that one out? How do they vet that?
I'm not really sure. I'm sure they asked a bunch of people before me that said no. Mm-hmm. And then,
by the way, it's true, and the same thing happens with me with everything. I think my wife would probably say a whole bunch of people asked them.
I got the call one day and then I remember I texted Seth Meyers. I was like, should I do it? And he goes, yeah, of course. And I was like, all right. And so I said yes, but I knew from the beginning I wasn't going to do it the way other people had done it.
That was okay with you, obviously.
Yeah. I was like, they just don't know who they picked. The Correspondents' Dinner works well when the home team's on board. Roasts are never good if the person you're roasting doesn't want to be roasted. Mm-hmm. You know,
right.
I mean, you've done them.
Sure.
Everyone's having a good time.
Right.
If the home team's I'm going to make a mean face this whole time. You're like, well, yeah. Then
it's kind of a flawed. The whole thing is pretty flawed if you're going to get up there and roast someone who doesn't have a sense of humor or want to be roasted.
Yeah.
It can only work. I think you're surprised sometimes at how open Alec Baldwin is to being roasted. But
yeah.
I think also there's a context, and I think the Republicans lack that context. Alec Baldwin had the worst things ever said about him in this context of everyone loves him. And he, of course, how do you get to that place where they even roast you? You must be a household name and have achieved and blah, blah.
Right.
Blah, blah. And I don't feel I feel especially Republicans, that they don't have that context. They have that, I have a great sense of humor, but they cross the line with their knock-knock joke.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like you can see it a lot on both sides. They're just this side's a snowflake, that side's a snowflake. And I'm no one, it just seems like no one wants to get made fun of right now, where yes. you're like, don't cross the line I made. And I'm like, I don't know what your line is. My line is so far beyond everyone else's line.
I was hanging out with Jay Leno eating and watching him drink tap water last night. And he just got done with this whole Gabrielle Union kerfuffle. And I was like, he's like, you know what the latest one is? And I was like, what? And he goes, I called her a nice girl. And I was like,
on TMZ.
Wait a minute. Yeah. I'm using my old brain here. Wait a minute. You called her a nice girl? That's controversial? Yeah, I called her a girl.
Oh. Like, as opposed
to like a 42-year-old woman, like I think, like you round down a little bit. That's nice. But then I guess you called a black guy a boy, but you can't really do that math because there's no hey girl,
context.
You know, like it's girls' night out or whatever. Like I don't, but we're how much of a jeweler's loop do we really have to pull out to dig this one out? Like you called her a nice girl.
Did you see the thing about the Peloton ad?
Yes. We'll get there. We'll get there. You just hold on.
The thing that's funny about the Peloton ad that we will get to is I came in and screamed at everyone about the Peloton ad a week ago from a 100% different direction than what everyone else is screaming from. I have a totally different perspective.
I will lead the news with this.
Michelle, are you married?
No, not married.
Boyfriend?
No, completely
really?
Alone.
Like that single?
Yeah, I mean, I see some people every once in a while. But,
really?
You know, yeah.
But no, any thoughts about that? Like, I mean,
first
off, I want to know, I'm like curious, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to go like full Howard Stern here, but when people say like, I date people, I'm always like, how does that work? What do they say?
What do you mean?
Well, they go like, I date a few people. Yeah. I'm like, how do those few people, do they
know?
I'm old fashioned or whatever, but
asking, how does it work?
If I was dating a girl and I ended up like, we're having sex and I was like dating the girl and she was dating a few people, I wouldn't have zero thoughts. Yeah. I'd have many thoughts.
I hope that she's dating a few people too.
I would like her. Like, no, what I'm saying is I don't know how to work in that relationship where you're dating a few people and how, look, it's a modern era. Maybe it's easier to do now, but how does that work?
I mean, it's one of those things where there's like a couple people in my life that pop in and out, but never at the same time, thankfully, you know? So I kind of just, I mean, I'm having a good time. I've never been a real relationship person. So,
really?
And I like to be, I mean, I'm a stand-up. I like to be selfish. I like to be able to work when I want to work. And I'm on the road all the time. And I don't really have a lifestyle that's very conducive to being with a guy right now.
Where do you make your home?
New York.
And when's the last time you had like what you would call a full-time boyfriend?
Probably like a year ago.
You do a lot of kids and, you know, talk about birth and that kind of stuff in the act. You ever thought about being a mom or getting married or any of that stuff?
It goes in and out, you know, like I...
sure does.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I'm 34. I always thought that if I wanted a kid, it would kind of be like, now is the time. Mm-hmm. I haven't had that urge yet. Every time a lot of my friends have babies. I'll hang out with the babies for a little bit. And then I'm like, no, I don't know if I want this full time.
Yeah.
I would love to be a dad. I mean, being a dad sounds so much better. Yeah.
Just it's identify as a dad. You can do that.
I'm a dad now.
It's kind of funny because babies aren't like puppies. Like if you go to someone's house and they have a 9-week old lab, you fucking love every second of it. And then you drive home going, I want to get a lab. I want to get a puppy. You go hang out with someone and their kid. You don't drive home wanting a kid.
You're sigh like, of relief.
I'm going gay. I'm not getting away from this as fast as I can. Like,
glad to be gone.
Don't expect. Yeah, you're not going to be inspired by your friends and their kids.
And like, I have nephews. I'll play with them for like, I mean, after 5 minutes, I'm like, there's got to be more plot to this game. Yeah. I can't. This is like, I don't know how parents do it. I think I'd be like, I'd try to just have like two at the same time.
Yeah, let them
entertain
each other.
I don't want twins, you know, but just like, and then just be like, no, you guys.
It's probably not conducive. The stand-up comedian lifestyle and the stand-up comedian mindset and then schedule and whatnot is probably the least conducive mom job there is.
Yeah.
I mean, for the guys, it's a little different, but it's still bad. And also, you said something interesting, like you said, like, I'm too selfish or I'm too whatever. And I do know, like, I know the Jeff Rosses. I know all these people. And I know a lot of them, like, frankly, just don't want to fucking deal with it. Like, they want to get high. They want to eat brunch. I'm going to see Star Wars the day it comes out at noon. You know, and they fucking like it. Like, they've made a life for themselves where they don't have to go to work till 10 at night. And they kind of dig it. And they can hang out and sleep in. And it sort of goes with that territory.
Yeah, I don't, like, and I also, for me, the best way to get jokes, I don't, like, sit down and, like, you're going to write from 12 to 1 or something. I just stare at a wall or, like, you know, I'll be walking around and, like, you can't do that when you have kids, you know? Like, there's just, there's too much other stuff to do.
Yeah, I wish I didn't have kids.
Too late.
Too late. All right, let me hit No Safe Spaces. This is my movie. Listen up, America. No Safe Spaces. It's out in theaters now. It's, I don't know, I think we're in about 200 theaters or so, something like that. It's funny. It says 98% score on Rotten Tomatoes, but I think it's 99. Last I checked, it was 99 on Rotten Tomatoes. So how bad can it be? No Safe Spaces, starring me and Dennis Prager. He's really the thinking man's me. It's important. It's funny. It's only in theaters, and it's nationwide, and it's out December 6th. Is that today? What day is it? Yeah?
Oh, today.
Today. Out today. Rated PG-13 for some reason. I'm not sure where the 13 part comes in, but it's at least PG-13. NoSafeSpaces.com. You look around for tickets near you. Bring a loved one and bring a young person. I think you'll really enjoy it. And tell me what you think on Twitter, please. NoSafeSpaces.com. And yes, 99% on Rotten Tomatoes as we speak. All right, why don't we take a quick break, and we'll come back with Michelle, and we'll do the news right after this.
ACS fans, get it on. The Corolla Drinks newsletter is underway. Every week, we'll bring you inside the hallowed halls of ACS with behind-the-scenes stories from Adam, the lackeys, co-hosts, and ACS regulars. We'll also bring you exclusive video from Adam that you can't see anywhere else, deals you can't get anywhere else, guest updates, and highlights from the week that was ACS. Sign up today for a Corolla Drinks deal that should see you stocked with all the booze you'll need until 2020, or the upcoming apocalypse, whichever comes first. So head to CorollaNewsletter.com today and get ready, because every week, the Ace Man will be right there in your inbox.
Give me the news with Grad, news with Gino Grad, breaking viral, all those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad, trouble in the Middle East, celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gino Grad.
Well, a Christmas ad from exercise bike company Peloton has been widely mocked on social media as being sexist and out of touch and even dystopian. The ad, which has been viewed more than a million times on YouTube, sees a woman receive an exercise bike for Christmas from her husband. She then records her workouts over the following year in a vlog and presents it to him as a gift, as a way of saying thank you. The criticism knocked the company's shares with they closed more than 9% lower than usual on Tuesday. Some people complained it is sexist for a man to give his wife an exercise bike for Christmas, suggesting that she needs to lose weight. One headline said, woman goes from 116 pounds to 112 pounds. Others noted that despite the claims the bike has changed her, the already slim woman looks exactly the same. Some said it looks like an episode of Black Mirror. And here is the ad, if you haven't heard it yet.
Yeah, I've seen, I've been studying it closely.
A pump. Peloton? Give it up for our first time riding.
She's nervous.
First ride. I'm a little nervous, but excited. Let's do this. 5 days in a row. You surprised?
I think it's the music that also bumps people.
Tall Bachman.
That was totally
Tool doing. Yes, turn it up.
Boston 50 ride. She just said my name. A year ago, I didn't realize how much this would change me.
Did you get her Final Cut Pro?
This holiday, give the gift of Peloton.
She got her Peloton and an editing bag. Commercial editing bag. With an ad and a full-time editor. Had a guy doing a mix. He did a sound mix. He did a color correct mix on it. So he had a full crew and a Peloton.
It's quite a gift.
So she did quite a job knocking that out.
I like that the next year he was like, I got you a Peloton and you got me a video of Peloton.
Yep.
I was watching this thing, and it's weird. Now, see, there's a double-edged exercise sword, which is If you get it for a fat chick, then she's insulted, and so is the audience. If you get it for the super fit chick, then why did she need your thing? She right. obviously is doing something that's keeping her pretty firm the way it is.
She's so
it's
purging.
Just, it's kind of a weird, yeah, it's a weird thing. Like, you can't use the fat chick, you'll get pushed off the end of a pier, but if you use the skinny chick, they'll go, doesn't she look good enough already? This is us out of problems, but there's no real anything going on here. But, oh, you ran a 50-mile ultra marathon of Bonneville Salt Flats,
oh
Michelle, last year? Well, I want to talk about it in a second. All right.
Wait, but this, like, the Peloton, is she's just a lady who likes exercise. If someone got me a Peloton, I would be thrilled. Like, stop giving your story to this lady. You don't, She's clear. Yeah, she's fit, and she was probably like, if I was going to do her backstory, which doesn't exist because she's fictional. But if I was going to do her backstory, I would say that she's a mom, she's busy, and she was like, you know what I would love if I didn't have to go to the gym, if I could mm-hmm. do this at home. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I hear you. I got this for you. And she was like, I love it. Thank you so much.
Right.
In no context did he say, here you go, you fat pig. Jump right. on this every once in a while.
Oh, if you read some of those articles, do you have any of those articles, Max Zapata?
It's all these people about? Just bringing their own baggage into the
projection. Spinning yarns.
Abso-fucking-lutely it is. And I watched this commercial and it drove me fucking nuts. And it has nothing to do with weight or exercise or anything, which is... I was looking, you know, he bought her $900 worth of stationary bike, and she was so, it's like she'd been liberated from Auschwitz or something. It's like, I'm so indebted to this man. And then at the end, they were watching it. A year had gone by, but still, the bloom wasn't off the rose.
No, far from
and
it.
And then she's looking at it, like, with the look, like, does he like it? Does he still, he appreciates how much she appreciates. That's, I don't know what that thing is. $1,200.
Yes,
I don't know what
and,
they got. I
bought my membership.
All right. I got my wife a $100,000 Tesla X and she like grunted at me. She walked past me in the hall. So I'm looking it through the eyes of that man.
Yeah.
I'm looking it through the eyes of the husband. I came home with a brand new Jaguar, parked it in the garage, walked into my living room with my kids. My wife were like playing video games. I went, I got a brand new Jag in the garage. And I went, yeah, okay. And then they got back to Fortnite. So I see it through those. That's my perspective.
Yeah, you have no relatability.
That's why I'm angry at the commercial. Not for the weight or the body shaming or any of that. Do you have any?
I don't think people understand how much of a cult cycling is.
Yeah.
Like,
apparently.
People go to those Soul Cycle classes, and they act like they're, like, part of a club. Like, they're, like... That's like their peak. I was in one in the West Village in Manhattan at 10 a.m. on a Tuesday. And there's all these women there that had like these huge diamond rings on, clearly not working women. And the instructor kept yelling things like, be your dreams. And some of that was like,
that's good.
Yeah.
These are,
I think they are.
They are. Yeah. I mean, they're doing a great job.
Also, I feel like you need a back wheel to realize your dreams. You know what I mean? Just sitting there literally spinning.
Yeah.
It's a metaphor for why you have your afternoons free every single day.
Have you ever seen the Peloton ad that
I've seen? The spoof, you say, yes. And I say yes.
The spoof where they show all the because in every ad it's like in front of a beautiful window and like
Frank Lloyd Wright House.
Yeah. There's like a guy that does all this. Like it was a thread on Twitter about all the different places you're supposed to put Peloton.
Oh my God!
I've done 20 minutes on these architectural digest
marvels.
And the whole Peloton and the Peloton woman. We did this 3 years
ago. With Christy,
she's the second wife. The Peloton girl.
The Peloton is $2,245. Ironically, the exact same price of the trumpet I'm going to return.
And the same thank you.
So
the same appreciation.
Oh, my God. Buy someone a $100,000 car and they belch. Jesus Christ. Yeah, to me, I look at these commercials where they're so pumped. Like, oh, my God. And I like the approving looks. Sometimes. Yeah. Did you approve?
Did I do a good job?
I've been a good little girl.
Did that motherfucker not even put a bow on that goddamn thing? Couldn't we bother to put a bow on it?
Speaks for itself.
The second
car. Can
cars,
I see that frame?
The ones that bother me the most are the car with the bow commercial where the wife comes out and it's snowing.
Did you see the one where
she gets
trucks for both, or he gets trucks for both?
Yes, the black one at GMC.
I want the red, or whatever it is. It's like, oh my God.
Again.
Is it hers?
I also like their 27-year-old couple standing in front of $9 million worth of house, like the Guggenheim is behind them. Like, what do you got? Where's this couple? And you're buying trucks? Like, who is
his and hers?
Who is this couple?
All right. Passed away.
Max Bada, sorry, do you have that? There was a couple of articles about that.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot more than a couple out there.
But there was a couple you read me.
Yeah, I mean, well, so the stock's been dropping. People were immediately outraged, calling out the husband's unhealthy control over his wife.
Maybe she wanted it.
She wanted
article
the
from,
very grateful.
She
seemed
what,
so happy.
Washington something or something. What did you read me? You read me an article or two.
I told you that the stocks were dropping and Gina had it in her news. I never
you
actually
read, you said, you read a long, you read a thread, you read a thing, articles. No.
No, I never read you an article about this particular subject.
Oh, all right.
I was thinking of the Tim Ryan stuff.
I was listening to Tim Ryan stuff. All right. Well, there's articles in, like, I don't know, the Washington Post or something like that. There's some pretty pretty funny articles about how she's in a gilded cage and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, oh, fuck. But again, it's like shooting Cecil the Lion. It makes me happy that we're out of problems as a society. Like, if this can induce moral outrage, we have no more problems. If this is, we find this morally reprehensible, then we're done.
We all did.
We don't have problems.
Don't you think a normal Peloton commercial would be like, if it was me, like, thanking him for the first, like, 2 days and then being like, look, I really appreciate it, but, like, I'm just not feeling good today. And then it would just be 360 more days of excuses why I'm not doing the Peloton bike.
Or I want to see the Peloton that's covered in dust.
Thank you. Right. Yeah. That has your laundry hanging from it.
Yeah, they always have, like, flannel shirts and stuff hanging from them. So, again, nobody – in terms of, like, the moral outrage, is anyone really – morally out, but what Max Pat is looking for now is, like, you read columns in big newspapers where they're
devoted,
really using some serious language.
Isn't it just like another fun way to punch up because everybody's jealous of the Peloton life and the Peloton people, and it's just a fun way to be able to express fake outrage?
I
because you're
guess.
Not punching down with the Peloton crowd.
I'm just mad at all the people that are like, oh, this woman, they're making her exercise. It's like, I mean, I love exercising. I love to do it. If someone got me a Peloton, I'd be thrilled. Like, stop it. Just because you
just
hate
like,
it.
You.
If you want to be lazy and not exercise, fine. But this lady wants to. Let her have her bike.
Well, also,
this fictitious lady.
This fake lady.
It's a weird, we have this bizarre, we have this insane relationship with food and exercise because on one hand, we never stop talking about health and healthcare and the cost of healthcare and diabetes and, you know, morbid obesity and blah, blah, blah. And on the other hand, if you try to tell some kid, hey, that's not healthy, or some woman, like, you know, that's not healthy, or you need to, then all of a sudden you get shamed. Yeah. It's like, well, which fucking is it? Is it good for you? Like, at least with smoking, it's super consistent. Right. Like, smoking's bad for you. And nobody lights a cigarette and goes, oh, that guy's a hero. They just go, we don't like smoking. Like, we're super consistent. Mm. Food is just it's insane. It's back to Little Miss Sunshine. It's like the Great Kinnear's telling the fat chick, don't eat ice cream for breakfast, and everyone's yelling at him. Well, like, which one is it? Is it bad for you? Is healthcare cost us a lot, or many people can't afford the coverage of them? It's like, because they're unhealthy. We're the politicians, like, preaching the, and then every time you say, you know that something, there's some insane number, which is the average American woman weighs as much as the average American man did like 30 years ago scary number like that. Like, we're getting super fat, and all the people that are like, we don't have insurance, people don't have insurance. What do you think it's going to be like for those people's joints and hip and knee replacements and what their diabetes and their livers and their lungs and the people that are walking around with the extra 100 pounds at 23 years old? What are they going
to
cost
become,
us when they're in their 50s? And why are we not getting into that? We're just getting into what's it going to cost to take care of them, or how are we going to take care of them, or who's going to take care of them? What about them taking care of them now? Like, a little preventative maintenance? Like, go to the Mojave Desert and run 50 miles with Michelle. Or the Salt Flats.
To whip you in the shape.
50 miles?
50 miles.
Wow.
I'm sorry. I have one more thing on the Peloton.
Okay. I want to steer it toward you.
I imagine this woman in the ad is like, in real life is like, please don't pull it. I love these residuals.
That's right.
I'm trying to save up enough to get away from my abusive husband.
I'm trying to save enough to get a Peloton.
Yeah.
Speaking of Peloton, yeah.
Oh, can I just say this real quick? I don't speak a lot of trumpet talk today. I don't do a really good job of tooting my own horn around here, but I famously and amazingly called the Rachel Dolezal thing 36 hours before it broke. I was like, someone's just going to identify as black. They're just going to be like, I'm a black person. Right. And that happened. There will be someone who is either suing their doctor or files a complaint or something over fat shaming. You need to lose weight.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
no, you're fat shaming me. Because now the doctor used to be the one to tell you have to lose
weight. Talk to Dr. Drew about that. I think they're already afraid to approach that with patients.
I'm calling it out.
Yeah.
Speaking of Peloton models, I don't know. Like, coming up, there was, you know, when I was young, it's like, he's dating a Playboy playmate. And then it morphed into Victoria's Secret, which is still strong. But I don't know. If I was at a bar and a dude's like, I'm banging a Peloton chick right now, I'd be like, you fucking, let me smell your dick. You got it, mate. Because the only bad part about this is the fake kid and the fake husband. Yeah. Other than that. Minus
good
that, fucking awesome.
She's a smoke show.
Yes, I agree. And
she's got endurance.
You know, this is going to boomerang back, I think, because the Peloton models are almost always hot blondes, and she's got a little ethnic in her. And some group, I don't know what she is, but whatever she is going to have to boomerang it back on the woke, no joke people going, she's Indian American or whatever it is, and
That would be great. Yeah.
She's got some nationality.
She's 1/4 Cherokee or something.
She's from the Gratitude Tribe. Hey, thank you. To infiltrate that tribe. Yeah, all right. Where were we, Chad? Right.
Well, I'm sorry to turn this so very dark, but boy, oh boy, it is in the news. A veteran LAPD officer has been removed from active duty after allegedly fondling the breast of a dead woman. Here's how they caught him. The unnamed officer responded to a call.
You always yell, wake up, if you're going to do that. Yeah. That's my
put the
move.
Mirror under the
I
nose
always
first.
Yell, wake up.
Yep. So they responded to a call.
Plausible deniability.
Checking for a pulse.
Yeah. About a dead woman in a park. After he and his partner
rob her in the morgue. I know.
Pull her out
Plan
of the
safe.
After he and his partner confirmed that the woman was dead, the partner left the room and he turned off his body cam. But here's the thing. Apparently, body cams have a 2-minute buffer before they're deactivated for just such an occasion,
cool
I would imagine.
Period.
And a random inspection turned up this sickening footage. The LAPD spokesperson tells NBC News an investigation is underway and there is no apologizing for this guy. They're saying he's the worst. He's disgusting. He shouldn't be here. They are not supporting him in any way, shape, or form.
I heard his partner said he was a good cop. A feel.
That just made me spit. I don't know why.
Oh, that's the fucking, in the annals of like being called into the boss's office, like what happened? I leave the coffee machine on again and burn the shit at the bottom of the carafe. Nah, this is a little different,
a little heavier.
Bob. This is.
But you're cool with the kid I shot?
Nah, black or Hispanic, that's fine. But this is a problem. Your body can't. You know, you turn it off sometimes. Yeah, it has to kind of coast to a stop. And
oh, God, there's not like a 3-second buffer, is there?
It's more
Four
like 120.
Seconds? Oh, no.
So, did they release the tape?
No, and I didn't go searching for it because I thought it would be too upsetting.
You know it's going to be.
How did she die?
Don't know. Unclear. Hmm.
Here's the thing. I'll bet. I'm going to make 2 bets. You ready? Mm-hmm. So we can all be nauseated at the same time. I'll bet you it's domestic battery or something her husband. Well, when 35-year-old women die, it's not normally, you know, the Crips or the Bloods. Like, it's normally the husband who does it, right?
That's right. You
then,
watch true crime, you know.
While he's being indicted for murder, he's also suing the LAPD.
100%.
Because this, what she did to the deceased. And then he's going to explain, I love my wife and drowning her in the tub was a moment. No, that was a lateral move. Yeah, all right. Everybody makes mistakes, but I need to be paid for my suffering.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
That'll be horrible. Keith Morrison will tell us all about
it. You got to sue. Someone's alive and has to sue, right?
On the behalf,
It's going to be weird because, you know, well, we're suing for pain and suffering. Well, she was dead, so that's a tough putt, right?
Yeah. That's punitive work.
But listen. the mom of one of the vermin who did the North Hollywood shootout, the mom who was like Sea Hag mom, who was like housing elderly people in some flop house in Pasadena and like hammering their social security checks, she sued the LAPD.
And?
They settled. Oh, I'm pretty sure they settled because so the point is it's kind of a weird world, but it's like you could have killed your wife and still sue the LAPD.
Wow.
Because her son shot 1,300 rounds into North Hollywood in the community, was killed by the LAPD, and she charged for wrongful death.
Oh, my God.
On it, and because they let him bleed out.
You know what? Please ask Mark Garagus about this.
You're a representative.
Yeah, I'm sure he's
No, I'm serious.
No, I'm talking about this one.
He did, yeah, he did do something on this.
No,
yeah.
I'm talking about this upcoming jurisdiction.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Hillary Clinton put to rest a long-standing tabloid rumor telling Howard Stern that she has not, in fact, had a lesbian affair. Here's a clip. And first, she's talking about Bill.
Good guy.
Oh, he must have been so upset.
He was so handsome. He was really handsome.
Really?
Really handsome. Yeah, he looked like a Greek god. He was really handsome.
No kidding. Mm. Greek god.
Yeah, he was very attractive.
Well, I don't know. I'd listen to you.
Well, contrary to what you may hear, I actually like men.
Oh, right, yeah. That's the other thing.
You're a lesbian, right?
Yeah. Raise your right hand. Yeah. You've never had a lesbian affair.
Never even been tempted. Thank you.
So she also discussed the 2016 election and said she was disappointed that Bernie Sanders waited so long to endorse her, which she believes cost her the election, and hopes he doesn't do it again to whoever gets the Democratic nomination. And quick question, don't you think it's a little sort of out of fashion to go on a show and to protest so much about not being gay? Don't you think that's not what we really do right
now? Yeah, you got to be careful. Yeah.
I wonder who that's for.
With her,
yeah, going, by the way, I'm not a lesbian, never been tempted.
Well, I think Brian. There is a thing. I mean, she's 69, pardon. I mean, what is she, 68? 70? I don't know. Look, you don't,
72.
You don't really.
It's not funny.
It's kind of like, it's always famously when I have those conversations where I go, I don't mean gay like sucking dick. I mean gay lame. So it's not bad.
Lucy
I'm just
K.
saying gay is lame, not sucking a guy off, but just lame, you know, gay lame.
And I didn't realize stupid.
Dumb, stupid, wouldn't want it, you know? And they're like, oh, yeah, that's more insulting.
Course,
so I think she's of a generation. She's like, no. And doesn't realize that when you protest too much, what do you protest? Then is that a goal? What are you saying about that lifestyle?
Yeah.
If you keep protesting,
that's
you know what
thing.
I mean?
I could see someone telling her, "Ooh, bring that up. It'll be edgy on the Howard Stern show." But it came off exactly the opposite.
Yeah, I also like. I mean, you can't be Hillary Clinton and have lied as much as you have, and then be like, "I swear, right hand to God, I swear." And you're like, "I mean, come on."
There's an email of me eating pussy, but I think that may have been bleach bit or something.
It's like I'm not saying I don't think politicians should be honest, but like, just don't get us to try to believe you now.
Yeah. And also, once you kind of crossed over, you know, once you've seen your 67th birthday, we don't need to go back and picture your lesbian experiences.
Yeah.
That's more of college.
You're on the other side of the
college move. Yeah.
Also, stop blaming Bernie. Go to Michigan and Wisconsin.
Yeah.
That's right.
There's a lot more blame to go around than Bernie Sanders not endorsing you fast enough.
I'm not saying he's not part of the whatever. Yeah.
But don't put it all in the Bernie
just don't
basket.
Don't put it all like.
By the way, she should be eternally grateful to Bernie, who was like at the debate and just went, enough about the emails. I don't want to hear
about
the emails anymore. He could have made a nice meal out of those emails. And he's like, I put it behind us. Let's talk about the subject. So she should sort of tip her lesbian cap to her.
That's exactly right. Well, Kanye West is going from the big stage at Joel Osteen's Houston Lakewood Church to Yankee Stadium, according to TMZ. This is just getting bigger and bigger. Sources close to Kanye say the two will take center stage on May 2nd, 2020 for a mega event called America's Night of Hope. TMZ says that Joel will do a sermon and then Kanye and his choir will do their thing. If Joel's past appearances at Yankee Stadium are any indication, because he's had them, them. The one, this one's sure to sell out quickly, and it's about 55,000 seats there. This will be Joel's third time doing Night of Hope at the stadium. Kanye's first.
What's Joel's message that's new and improved or better than what we've heard in the past?
I don't know if it's new and improved, but he's kind of like a sort of a broadcasting, not in that sense, but a broad, you know, Christian motivational speaker.
The new message is, I've got Kanye.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? But he's played there without Kanye.
Yeah,
right?
He has a mega church in Houston.
There's a mega church.
No, he's a very, very, very popular.
Thousands. Yeah.
What is
He's the guy who, when Houston had a lot of flooding, he wouldn't open his church.
He did after much browbeating.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I don't know. Tell me if you guys, you know, when you hear about this thing where like, no, this 19-year-old chick, she's got 10 billion followers on YouTube and this, then she does things. She does parodies of the commercials or something. And then you watch it for like 3 minutes and it's always the same. Like, that's not funny. Like, there's nothing there.
Yeah.
How did this how do you get this way? And I feel the same way about the motivational guys or the church guys. Like, at some point you go, okay, let's hear what they have to say. And it's like,
a lot of platitudes.
Yes.
With a little bit of Christian imagery, I would imagine.
I don't know if you guys saw I think Jeannie, you mentioned it to me, so I'm hesitant to bring it up. The Tony Robbins documentary.
I'm not your guru.
Mm-hmm.
It is meant to be a fluff piece. It is not flattering.
No, I said the same thing when we talked about it.
I don't know what your reaction was, but
it's a great documentary.
It's great, but it's not great the way wants it to be great.
Right.
Like, they're following him around. They have all access. It's a Tony Robbins fluff piece. It is not flattering.
It's very interesting because it's the first time.
Paper thin.
It's the first time the public is sort of allowed to see one of these, you know, week-long retreats, and it is an eyeful. I highly recommond it.
I feel like people
are a charlatan.
They're so thirsty to belong to something. Like, people just want a group to belong to.
Oh, my God. You guys, Brian, you dodge a bullet because Maria Menounos is all about
Tony. She's in the documentary.
Oh, my God.
Then she dodged a bullet. Wait a minute. Who dodged a bullet? Somebody dodged a bullet because she loves it.
If you got a free pass for a week to go to Tony Robbins, you wouldn't do it? I would do it.
I'd do it for a day. You know what? I will say it's one of those things like Scientology or whatever. If it works for you, and Rhea's doing pretty well for herself and she's a very positive person, God bless. But there are a lot of weak-minded people in that audience that are... Oh, boy.
They get torn down pretty good.
Oh, boy.
Did he get Me Too'd up pretty good?
Yes.
I think he did.
But he got it to go away, from what I remember. I don't know if there was a side conversation. I don't know what was exchanged, but it went away pretty quickly.
I feel like there was an article about him, and this could be a million other people, so I might be pinning it on the wrong guy, but who he was saying that, like, women, it's your fault if you're in bad relationships.
Well, that sounds like something he would say because he's all about 100% personal responsibility.
Yeah.
Don't care what your circumstances
are.
But I don't know if that was
him. I'm not saying I 100% disagree with that. It was just one of those things that, taken out of context, it was like...
I follow the teachings of the Bikram yoga guy.
Yeah.
You bitch, it should pay for my jizz. Like, okay.
You should be so lucky.
You hope I jizz into a fan and some of it hits your tender skin. You just leave $10 by the side of the bed before you slink off to your whorehouse.
You love that guy.
I love that guy.
What's the name of the documentary? It's like the yoga something and
it's
assault
like Bikram. He's like, I'm so good at yoga, I could suck my own dick, but I'm bored. So I'll let you suck it, ladies. We'll go by height. No, alphabetically. No, surprise me.
Let me figure out the pattern as it goes.
That's right.
Is it Bikram Chowdhury? Is that his name?
Yeah, the Bikram Yoga Guru Predator.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's quite a title. What's it about?
Yeah. I call this one down, bitch. I mean, dog. Whatever. Start sucking.
I think Bikram is the title and Yoga Guru Predator.
This is not what's on my Netflix page, but maybe.
Well, it's on there.
Maybe I don't see this art on there. It's got
another picture. Yeah, don't give me this art
him,
either.
But either way, he's awesome. He's lying. It turns out people who are really seeking something out, like a yoga's going to change my, you know, I was molested by my stepdad and yoga's going to fix it, they're sort of malleable, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, when you tell them stuff,
they're searching
and they're like ones that get caught up in cults and stuff like that, like they're looking for something.
Anyone that's in a cult or like the people that start a big thing, like the Joel Osteens, even Kanye, this stuff is like a little. I went to a Sunday service and I gotta say, it's amazing to see. The music is great. They brought in a drum line at one point. It was great. But at the same time, I was also like, this feels like someone could start saying something and then we could all march somewhere and then
round
burn
up some
Jews.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember what kind of trumpet the guys were playing?
No.
I feel like Kanye's a top-notch musician. He would only play with great players, right?
He would know.
They'd know their equipment. All right, let me hit LifeLock. Online holiday shopping safety tips confirm. There's HTTPS lock symbol in the URL of any website you're shopping on. There's a tip for you. Search for deals on trusted vendor retail sites as well, and always use unique passwords and login information. It's important to understand how cybercrime is affecting our lives. Identity theft is a big deal. Let's take it seriously in 2020. Someone's identity is stolen every 2 seconds. You could miss identity threats if you're only monitoring your credit. Good thing there's LifeLock, which detects a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number, on sale on the dark web. Protect yourself as we head into 2020 with the industry standard. It's LifeLock, right, Dawson?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. LifeLock can see threats you might miss on your own. Until December 8th, join and get a special discount. Save 30% or more off your first year by using promo code Adam. Call 1-800-LifeLock or head to LifeLock.com. Use promo code Adam for 30% off or more.
Well, Justin Bieber has asked his fans for a special gift this holiday season, a promise to take a stand against racism. The star made his plea on Instagram on Wednesday. I knew Michelle would like this, in which he apologized for his own past missteps and said, "When I was young, I was uneducated and found myself really saying hurtful things and not knowing the power of my words. Racism is still very prevalent, and I want to use my voice to remind we are all human beings and all equal before God."
Are they known for this? Like when a synagogue is desecrated, you think the cops jump and go, "Bieber fans," and the other looks and nods. Hold on, let me feel that dead chick's tit. But yeah, I'm with
the
you.
Optics are bad on this, Justin.
Yeah. Sorry, I haven't done a rest of this.
Any Bieber?
I've seen enough of these.
Any believers around here?
Let me check Justin's list.
Yeah, it could be some claymates.
I want to know what N-word story they squashed.
Like, well, funny you should ask, because apparently Justin has a few questionable moments in his past, including some decade-old footage of him dropping N-bombs backstage and a charge that he dropped racial slurs during a fight at an NBA playoff game. And so I think he's trying to change the old image around as well. So if we can all do that for Justin for Christmas, he would sure appreciate it.
All right. But then what about the ones that are already super evolved as it pertains to race?
Mm.
You've given them nothing to do.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Just keep being excellent.
They can't, like, you go, "My wish for all my fans is for them to do their own yard work this year." And I go, "I live in an apartment." Yeah. Well, then you got nothing to do. Shouldn't we assign a separate thing for those people to do?
Yeah, what do you suggest?
Already just have love in their heart toward everyone else?
Yeah.
I don't know. How about you get a Peloton and you play a trumpet while you're singing? Saying, if you can play Grand Old Flag on the trumpet.
That'll show Justin your glory.
It's a big outlay of cash.
Yeah.
I just like the person that saw that and was like, "You know what? Yes.
Yeah.
Finally, let's take off this swastika.
Yeah.
Let's take off this sheet hood." Yep. And
they probably had to yell.
Justin
like
said
somebody
it.
Like, "Hey, Tim, yeah, get the cross out of the kerosene. We're no. It's off.
Justin says
we're
no.
Not tonight." He did the move.
"We're going for a different black church?"
Like in Goodfellas when they're playing cards and they're going to kill a guy.
Forget about tonight.
Forget about tonight.
Don't abort.
I read a tweet. I'm off. Yes.
Well, I just want to make sure everybody stays nice and angry. So I wanted to let you know, the Art Basel Miami that's going on right now. And I'll explain what that is. A banana duct taped to a wall has sold for $120,000 at Art Basel Miami, the international art fair featuring works by acclaimed and emerging artists. Another edition of this concept art sold for $150,000. The minimalist artwork, they're calling it, comes from the Italian artist Maurizio Catalan.
I know everyone thinks this guy's making off like a bandit, but once you back out the 8 inches of duct tape and then the banana,
you got to switch out that banana.
You got to understand he doesn't just own bananas and duct tape. You got to go out and buy that, and then you have to back that out of the $150,000. So I don't know what you're left with after that. Then taxes.
Sure.
You know,
you probably got an agent and a manager.
There's 10%, 15%. You're right. No, that's a good point. Yeah.
Would you like to know what this piece was called?
Yes, I'd like.
It's called Comedian.
So he sold. It's a white wall with a banana.
I don't think you get the wall.
Yeah. What all does it come?
Right. I don't know. I think just the banana.
That's
the duct tape.
Drywall for money.
So ArtNet reports that the first edition was purchased by a French woman and the second by a French man.
Oh, the man. I get the man.
Yeah.
Look, here's how the man shit goes. You know, you're at a fucking bar and there's some hot chick. And this guy standing next to her, and he's going, "This Rolex Submariner cost me $13,000. I go, "That's cute. That's
adorable.
So you think you got money, huh? No. I paid $150,000 for a fucking banana and 8 inches of duct tape.
You mean a banana boat?
You know what? We're already talking too much. Let's head back to my flat.
I can't
you
wait.
Know how fucking rich I am? That's how rich I am. That guy paid $150,000. He got an Aston Martin.
Yeah.
I got a banana. So who's richer? You do the fucking math.
That's a very good point.
I can get the motivation for the woman immediately. She's mad at her rich husband, and she goes, "I'm going to spend $140,000 of your dollars."
That's right. That's good.
On a banana.
She is that guy's husband or wife. She's that guy's wife. They're freshly divorced. She's squandering. He's like, "I'll do you one better, bitch. It's going to get me laid." And you're right. Max Bad, look it up. I bet they're a couple.
10 years from now, they get back together. The love is back.
Yeah, and they make banana bread. Symbolically, they still have the bananas.
The banana colada song.
Yes.
They find each other on the art.
So Catalan did not expound on the meaning of the artwork, but the gallery owner told CNN that bananas are, quote, a symbol of global trade, a double entendre, as well as a classic device for humor.
You know this guy's got a fucking dad, this artist. Mm. What's he calling himself?
Maurizio Catalan.
Right. His name is Craig.
Morris. Morris Cassie.
And you know he's got a fucking dad, it's a long haul trucker, and it's like, "Craig, Maurizio, okay, right. I'm going to take a banana and take it off. Okay, you're going to be sleeping on the fucking sofa later on tonight. Now get a fucking job, would you please?" And then he comes back and he goes, "How'd the art exhibit go,
Ciao.
Craig? How'd it go? Anyone buy your banana?" "Yeah, we sold it.
As a matter of fact."
"Oh, so some guy was hungry and gave you 45 cents. Nah, a little more.
Trader Joe wanted it back."
I like the ultimate comeback from the dad, though. It's like, "Still not enough to repay me for college."
Yes. Right. Yeah, and they said this is a form in transforming everyday objects into vehicles of both delight and critique. So congratulations, Maurizio.
Here's the thing about art. If you're going to give the spiel, then it ain't art. Mm. See, I don't look at a Monet and go, "I don't get it." And then Monet tells me what it is. Yeah. And I go, "Oh, now I like
it. You see their water
lilies." But if I'm just looking at a golden toilet with a fucking deuce floating in it, and you have to explain to me that it represents the capitalism. Like, once you get into long-winded, "Here's what it represents," that means it ain't shit. Nope.
Yeah, you didn't
right?
do a job.
I'm out.
Yeah, songs are that way. Mm-hmm. Poems are that way. Any art is that way. If it just, you just hear a great song, read a great poem, see a great painting, it's it. You get the big explanation about what it represents, it's always shit.
Are you ready to have your mind blown?
Yes.
The artist that did the banana duct tape also did the golden toilet.
Oh.
Whoa.
And that got stolen.
I know, good work. Really?
Yeah.
I just put those
according
two
to Chris, yeah.
Wasn't that called like America or something?
Yes. I don't remember.
That's
was
right.
it?
Yeah.
It's called America. Still. Come on down, shit in America. It's awesome. By the way, we already had American Standard who made all the toilets, so I think we beat you to that one. All right, let me hit... Jesus Christ, I put the golden toilet and the banana tape to the wall together.
This is gold.
Let me hit...
You're right about that, Michelle.
Let me hit Geico real quick. Everyone's got a to-do list. How about you save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance, and you don't have to go to the Guggenheim. You just go to your computer, fire that up. 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance, and take that to the bank. Take the extra money, put it in your pocket, or get someone a nice Christmas gift this year at Geico. That is geico.com. All right, one more, Gina Grant.
Oh, goody. Well, when it comes to making babies, many women leave it to the Sperminator. The Post broke the 44-year-old Ari Nagel's story on Father's Day 2016. Back then, the Brooklynite had only sired 22 children. Today, he's fathered 49 by sperm donation and 3 by his estranged wife. His oldest is 16, youngest is 3 months, and there's another 15 babies on the way in locations from Great Neck, New York to Ghana. Nagel says it keeps happening because he's just not very good at saying no. The City University of
New
York...
I'm looking at the picture, and all I got to say is, Nagel, please. Jesus Christ. How deep in the hood is that jizz getting?
Here you go, you fat pig.
Well, please.
All the women are very black around him, right?
Well, is that a thing? In that picture, yeah. I think that they are trying to put a little web series together, and so they might
Wasn't
be
there a bad Vince Vaughn movie about this?
Yes. I couldn't tell you.
Yes. There are no bad Vince Vaughn.
Yes, I can tell you about that.
He's a City University.
He's about 3 or 4 years
it was
old.
Recent-ish.
He had to go back and revisit everybody.
He's a New York math professor, and he gets flown all over the world. Typically, single women and lesbian couples are who's requesting him. He claims he has super sperm, but his main appeal is that he never charges for this donation. So that's
like the Bikram guy.
But
he's like, bitch, you need to pay me. But they don't normally pay.
Which one?
The Bikram guy.
Well, they pay for the class.
Oh, that's true.
They paid $18.
No, I am serious, though. There's four or five very black women standing around him. Usually you mix it up a little if you're trying to tell a story, unless this is part of the story.
They did say that he does have, this happens in Ghana a lot with him.
Oh.
So New York and Ghana and everywhere in between.
What is his cell? Like, why does he say he has super sperm?
Okay, so apparently, and it doesn't totally add up because you have, like, he says he has 85 million sperm per cubic centimeter, whatever it is. But
I've done this.
But, so you know.
I've done it. I had a competition with Jimmy once about who had the better sperm.
Yeah.
And I think he had a higher count, but mine were more mobile. Like, we're few, but we're proud.
Yeah. 300.
We ate every part of the pussy. We used it all.
But when I looked it up, it said the average is anywhere between 15 million and 200 million, which would put him basically at an average.
Middle.
Yeah, so I don't know if he has super sperm, but he is very
super convincing ability.
Maybe Ghanese men are on the lower average, you know what I mean, for
possible
sperm production.
Ghanaian, sure.
Ghanaian, I don't
that's
know.
How your grandma, that's how your grandmother would say it.
Wait, so does he? He doesn't. He's not financially responsible for any of these.
No, and clearly. He does it for free, and it's very transactional. And I would watch this web series, The Sperminator.
Yeah, and by the way, sperm count is going down for men
because of cell phones in the pockets or just lack of activity.
There's a couple thoughts. A, we're all turning into fucking chicks. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was the book title from 10 years ago. But secondly, they do have thoughts about plastics.
And, oh, interesting.
And Dr.
Like
Drew is interviewed.
The
think about the percentage of plastic
of course.
That you're ingesting versus 50 years ago. I mean, it's big.
I just saw Dark Waters yesterday. It's all about the plastics and everything leaching into the Teflon, leaching into the water.
Drew has interviewed a few guys, and we'll probably talk to them at some point, too, that have more than one scientist who has some thoughts and data about the sperm count and the plastic. But it's a confluence of things.
Yeah.
So I bet it's all the fucking us thinking like bitches all day, which is lowering the shit out of these fucking guys complaining about Peloton ads.
How do you test for that? How do you test for that?
Look, hold on.
I'm not saying you're wrong.
Your next book's about thinking like bitches.
Dr. Drew said to me years ago that when you put men in a position of power, their testosterone goes up. So if your testosterone could rise because they gave you the corner office and made you run the West Coast division of whatever, well, it can move around, I guess. And if you're sitting around, you know, watching your stories all day and crying with your poodle, like, maybe it'll start
decreasing.
Going out. And then it's the plastics and it's the environment and it's everything. But guys,
cell phones in the pockets.
Going cell phones in the pockets too. I mean, it could be 80 things all working at once. I wouldn't think it'd be one thing, you know.
And then we turn to the Sperminator.
Turn to the sperm. All right. Bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news. By the way, I'm not a lesbian, never been tempted.
Gina Grad. That was the news with Gina Grad.
Last but not least, Castrol Edge. Stronger under pressure, engines can lose up to 10% of performance due to friction. Castrol Edge with fluid titanium transforms under pressure. Keep the metal parts from rubbing and robbing and taking all the power away. Three times.
This is gold.
Three times stronger than leading full synthetic. Edge is formulated in ways to exceed the highest industry standards. It is Castrol Edge. Me, Oxnard Levity Live, December 13th and 14th.
Oh, I'd love to come, but I'll be at Seth Party.
Oh, Seth MacFarlane's party.
Invited a lot of people this year.
That is, with a heavy heart, I shall walk out on stage on the 14th. Two shows Friday, two shows Saturday. Milwaukee, Pabst Theater, Park West coming up in Chicago. It's in January. Go to AdamCarolla.com and find out everything. Shelby American, the doc, is out. Crank Yankers is back on Wednesday nights, Comedy Central. And Safe Spaces and Laughs with Paul Bryan. Get the audio. All the money's going to a great charity. It's just $4.99 for about 2.5 hours worth of comedy. So there's all that.
Cut out the 20 minutes I was up there.
Sign up for the Carolla newsletter at AdamCarolla.com. Michelle Wolf, very funny. Joke show, stand-up special, coming this Tuesday, the 10th, to Netflix. Ice House Tonight in Pasadena. Go to Michelle is a wolf.com. Thank you very much, Michelle.
Thanks for having me.
And until next time, Sam Carolla. For Michelle Wolf, Gina Grand, Paul Bryan, say mahalo.
Be your dreams.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. You can leave us a voicemail. Phone number is 888-634-1744. Get tickets and info on everything at AdamCarolla.com.
Pluto TV, the leading free streaming television service. Watch over 100 channels and thousands of movies on demand completely free. Pluto TV never asks for a credit card. You don't even need to sign up to watch for free. Pluto TV is easy. It's completely legal. And it's the best way to watch your favorite TV shows and hit movies for free. You never pay for TV again by downloading Pluto TV. Not sure what you're waiting for. You can be rolling in a matter of moments. Download Pluto TV for free on all your favorite devices. Do it today, including your phone and Roku and Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, smart TVs, PlayStations, and anywhere else you stream. And also, don't forget about my channel, Chassis, C-H-A-S-S-Y, Chassis Channel. Number 501. It is the best. It is Pluto TV.